ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3 as we continue our study through the letter that James wrote to these Jewish believers who were scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution they were facing for their faith in Jesus. And I know some of you are thinking, hey, wait a minute, Pastor Joe, it's Mother's Day. We remember several years ago you did a message out of Revelation, the demon locust from hell on Mother's Day. Where's that one? We're not in Revelation yet, so you're spared. I can never let that one down. Every Mother's Day you guys bring that one up, but I guess it's my own fault. Anyway, we're in James this morning, and again, what James is doing in this letter is he's trying to encourage these believers to grow up, to mature in the faith. And he doesn't want them to remain spiritual babies any longer. And so James gives them some tough words to kind of spur them on, to get them moving in the right direction. And we saw that he opened up this letter speaking about the believer and suffering in James chapter 1. And the idea is this, that the mature Christian needs to embrace the trials that he's going through, the testing of his faith with joy, and also to be on guard against the devil who's going to try and tempt you to sin in the testing of your faith. I mean, James opened up the letter like this. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then in chapter 2, which we saw over the last several weeks, the believer and service are really how mature Christians manifest the qualities that reflect their love for the Lord. And that love for God is manifested in how we treat others. The mature Christian cares not only for the rich, but those who are poor, those who are disadvantaged. He reaches out to all people. He doesn't put one in front of another. He shows no partiality. And how important that is. James, again, put it like this in James chapter 2. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, how we live out our faith, the things that we're doing, if there's no works involved, if we're not doing anything, is our faith real? And the idea, again, was helping others, ministering to the people. How important. Well, this morning we're going to begin James chapter 3. And, you know, you may have thought that the other two chapters were challenging. This one's probably one of the most challenging in his letter. This is the believer and his speech here in James chapter 3. And please, don't go planning a vacation during the next several weeks, okay? This is going to be tough for all of us. It's tough for me. And obviously, it's important because why would God have it in here? If this was something that's not important, it wouldn't be here. But it is very important. And God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He's not beating us up. He's encouraging us on how to live. And I think that's important for us to understand. And obviously, James recognized some problems that these believers were having controlling their tongues. Remember back in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, what he wrote. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Yeah, think about it. The tongue is a pretty small member of the human body, but the damage it can do can be devastating to others and to ourselves. And we probably have great reasons, at least in our mind, why we say what we said, that these things needed to be said, they needed to hear these things, they deserved that tongue lashing or whatever. And James says we need to listen before we speak and listen to God. And when we do speak, don't rush into it. And when we have to speak, don't let wrath flow from our lips because you're not producing the righteousness of God by your actions. In fact, in James 1:26, I mean, he says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You know, please understand, our words are to build people up, not tear them down. It's really easy to do that, to tear people down, but to build them up is harder. And James says, look, if that's your faith, it's worthless, because the words you're speaking speak otherwise. And the tongue is a powerful weapon. It could be used for good or evil. One writer put it like this. He said, the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue, man can praise God, pray, preach the word, and lead the lost to Christ. What a privilege. But with the same tongue, he can tell lies that could ruin a man's reputation or break a person's heart. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous tasks. And yet we take this ability for granted. Words are powerful, and they can build up, they can tear down, as I said. It takes work to build someone up. I mean, most of the marriage counseling that I have done in this church over the years is because people tear each other down. The two people, the husband and wife, they're at each other's throats, and it's so easy. One says something, and the other one just lashes back. And you can bring stuff up from the past. You can bring up all kinds of things and tear them down. But how hard it is to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Isn't it easy just to lash out? I mean, we've all done it. Someone says something to us and bam, you know? That's not what we're to do. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 12, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You see, what Jesus is saying is, look, if you want to see where you're at spiritually speaking, then listen to what comes out of your mouth. That's an indicator. It's a barometer. Ow, that one hurt, right? God wants us to see where we're at. And again, please understand that this is not for condemnation. This is not to beat us up and you know, put us down. But it's to restore us. It's to let go of those things that are hindering our walk with him and be able to speak that which is good. And I'm not saying we just agree with what everyone says, but we inspect what they say with the word of God, and we correct where correction is needed in love. You know, today we want to be friends with everyone, and it doesn't matter what we believe, what they say, and that's wrong and dangerous. I told you on Thursday that, you know, Andy Stanley said that unity is more important than doctrine. Well, how can that be? Our unity is based in Christ. That's what's brought us together. And apart from truth, is there any unity? No. What we've done is we have degraded who Jesus is. We've watered him down so we could join with everyone else. Because unity is more important than doctrine. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so we have to deal with those issues that are wrong. And I think James is going to be making the same point that Jesus made and showing us that the words we speak, the words that we say, are a reflection of our character, what's in our heart, and who's controlling our life. And there's only two things that control our lives. We try to make it complicated. It's either God or the devil, right? There's no one else. That's the influence. Is God influencing our life or is the devil? Well, what's coming out of your mouth? Now, some people are like, hey, you know, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm in charge of my life. No, you're not. Who are you listening to? You're listening to someone. Someone is telling you things. And what you're hearing is being manifested in your life. You know, think about when you were growing up as a kid. Maybe it was a sports guy that you were following or whatever. And you acted just like them. I'm sorry, I'm kind of weird. That's what I did. Tony Esposito for the Blackhawks, goaltender. Man, when my brother was taking shots on me, we played by the garage door. We made a little net. Man, I would be like Tony Esposito. And we never had, you know, we're able to see it on television, the games. We can listen to it on the radio. And so we could just imagine in our minds how he was sliding across the goal net, making a save, and that's what I would do. I was imitating him. He was part of my life. If God is influencing our life, then what's coming out of our life will be the character of God. But if he's not, then the character of the devil flows from our lives. You see how dangerous that is? So who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? And whoever it is, be it the Lord or the devil, that's what will flow from your lives. Keep your finger in James. Turn over to Galatians for a minute. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to share this with you because this is a battle that we do face. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 16 where Paul said this. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do those things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Make no mistake about it, there is a battle going on every single day. And as soon as you wake up, there's the battle beginning, right? It's a war against with the flesh and the Spirit, fighting against each other. And whatever you're feeding the most will be manifested in your life. And that's why we're to walk in the Spirit and the flesh will not be seen. This morning in our study, we're going to be dealing with teachers. And I've called this study The Dangers of Teaching. And some read this and they don't really think it fits with what James is going to say as he talks about the tongue and controlling what comes forth from our lips. But think about it. Teachers are examples to others as they teach them different things. And for the man of God, they're teaching the people of God the things of God. And they could be the best teachers, but if what comes forth from their lips is not honoring God, then people aren't going to listen. Let me share this with you. We're told life is a matter of building. Each of us has the opportunity to build something, a secure family, a good reputation, a career, a relationship to God. But some of those things can disappear almost overnight due to financial losses, natural disasters, and other unforeseen difficulties. What are we to do? Daniel Webster offered excellent advice saying, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we fill them with high principles, with just fear of God and love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity. Absolutely. And I realize some of you thinking, you know, well, this study is really not for me. I'm not a teacher. And I disagree. Because there are always people watching you, learning from you. And what are you teaching them by your actions, by the words that you're speaking? And so I believe this is for all of us. Yes, specifically for teachers, those that are teaching the Word of God. But again, I think it could be applied to every single person here. I've kind of broken these verses down into three sections. First of all, divine judgment in verse 1 of James chapter 3. The first part of James 3:2, we are sinners. And then the last part of James 3:2, the act of teaching exposes the tongue. So with that kind of as our introduction, let's pick up James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And let's look at what the Lord has for us as we look at this idea of the believer in a speech, and specifically the dangers of teaching. James said this, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So this is the idea here is divine judgment. And it obviously doesn't sound good, and we'll deal more with that in a few minutes, but keep that in mind. You know, if you're doing what's right, then you don't have to fear. And the best example I can come up with is, You know, if you're driving down the road and you're going the speed limit, when you see a police officer, there's no panic, there's no fear, right? You're following the law. There's no problem there. Nothing to fear. If you're speeding, I bet your heart races just a little bit. I bet your foot hits that brake pedal pretty fast. Maybe you're a little better at it now so your car doesn't jerk to, you know, when you see them, but you slow down a little bit because you broke the law and you know it. You did that which you knew was wrong. And here, these words of James remind us that being among the teachers in God's church is more than a matter of having natural or even spiritual gifts. There's really a different additional dimension of appropriate character and right living. One writer said, James found that this department of church work had become extremely popular, hence his warning about its serious responsibilities. God will judge us on the last day with special strictness on account of our influence over others. How true that is. You know, keep in mind that the days that James lived in, the rabbis were master teachers, and they loved to receive honor, respect, the praise from their fellow Jews, because it was all about them. And their behavior was very superficial, and eventually what was on the inside overflowed outwardly in their actions and their words. You know, we see it in Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." So Jesus is rebuking them. You know, they placed themselves in a position that God didn't really put them in. They had no authority to add human tradition to God's word. No one does. They were telling people to do things and they weren't doing them. You know, it's kind of like when I was growing up. Do as I say, not as I do. Now, that's not how it goes, because people are watching what we do. And so these guys were really false spiritual leaders that lacked integrity, they lacked sympathy, they lacked humility. They loved the title, they loved the honor, they loved the attention. No humility there. There's a lot of things that are innocuous, like gardening. You know, it's not a matter of life and death. It doesn't have eternal impact. Although, you know, when I see the rabbits eating my flowers, I want to have an eternal impact upon their lives and get rid of them. But that's another story. But think about a pastor, a leader, a teacher, and what he's doing. He is teaching spiritual truths from the Bible. And if he's teaching them wrong, he can damn a person to hell. That's how serious this is. And I realize maybe you think I'm going overboard with that statement, but I'm not. Look at Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Scientists, and all the other cults that are out there that are teaching their people spiritual issues, but they're wrong. They're condemning people to hell. That's how dangerous this is. And you may be thinking, well, yeah, Pastor Joe, that's true, but those are cults. They're not Christians. But as true as that is, look at what's going on in the church today. The false teaching, the secular humanism, the New Age, the Eastern mysticism, the psychology, and the boatload of other garbage that's not found in the Word of God. Remember the false prophets in the days of Jeremiah? The nation's on the brink of devastation as the Babylonians were going to come in and invade the land and take the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity. And there were many, many false prophets out there that were saying that they were speaking for God, and they weren't. They were speaking contrary to what God was saying through the prophet Jeremiah. They were giving people a false hope, and God was speaking forth judgment because of their wickedness, their spiritual idolatry. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will tend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord." notice what these shepherds were doing. They were not watching over the sheep that God had entrusted to them. And God was going to bring judgment upon them for the evil that they did. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. That's what they were doing. In verses 9 and through 11 of Jeremiah 23, we're told, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man who wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Jeremiah is overwhelmed by what he sees. And he tells us the reasons. The prophets, the religious leaders, were leading people away from God, and it took all his strength away. He was weakened by all that he was seeing. And you listen to some of these men and women who are fighting against the false doctrine coming into the church, and they get weary in this fight. It is hard because day after day they're blasted by those that are teaching false doctrine. I only get a little glimpse of that. I post something on Facebook, and it's amazing how people will stand up for false doctrine, false teachers. It's crazy. These guys do it on a daily basis. And it's a battle. And the sad thing is, you know, these false prophets in Jerusalem or in the southern kingdom of Judah were speaking for God, supposedly, and the people were listening to their lies, and they ended up rejecting the truth of God. And for Jeremiah, he's broken, he begins to stagger, he's overwhelmed. And again, it breaks my heart when I see what's going on today. Jeremiah had a love for the Lord. He had a love for God's word that drove him forward to speak what he believed. He had a love for his people. And he gave them what exactly they needed to hear. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. I mean, really, think about it. Judgment's coming, guys. We're going to be taken to Babylon. Do you want to hear that? No. Everything's fine. It wasn't. And I look at our nation, my heart weeps over what I see. People who refuse to turn to God and the false teachers that are leading away from God. And Jeremiah speaks of what this wickedness has brought to the land. The land's dry, it's barren, because they turned from the Lord and towards wickedness. It was filled with adulterers, both physical and spiritual adulterers. And those who were responsible were the priests, the leaders, bringing into the temple idolatry and wickedness. And we see that today where we have all kinds of worldly things brought into the church instead of the truths of God found in the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? God has given us His Word, and He wants us to teach from it, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole counsel of God. And we come up with all kinds of other things to do. Why? If God's Word is not that important, why did He give it to us? And if it's not that important, why are we worshiping a God who can't give us what we need? Do we have to have people who write books about what God really means? I think God knows what He means, right? We need to listen to Him. And so what's come into the church is, you know, abortion is right, homosexuality, gay marriage, this and that. All these things are right. Why? Because we moved away from the Word of God. We're listening to the false prophets, the false teachers. Leaders are to guard against these things. And in Judah and in our nation today, they are the ones who are promoting these things. In fact, Jeremiah 23:14, we're told, also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Wow. They moved away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and it brought all kinds of immorality into the land. And in the end, they're no different than Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at our nation. I mean, it patterns what's going on here in the southern kingdom of Judah. And there's consequences to these things. For the Jews living in the southern kingdom of Judah, they believed everything was good. And judgment was right at the door. You know, we are to be salt and light. We are to be that preserving force in a nation, right? What happened to the church? Some 90% of the Americans claim to be Christian. If that were true, don't you think we should have a little bit more of a preserving force? But the nation's rotting. We promote sin. We're joyful about our sin. Now, what did Beyonce have? Some kind of mass thing? She had the hat of a bishop on? Mocking things. Now, I don't think the hat is worth anything anyway, but you know what I mean. We mock God because of all the false doctrine that's been brought in.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.